A federal judge mourning her son calls for increased data privacy. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams, in for Molly Wood. In July, federal judge Esther Salas was deliberately targeted in her home in New Jersey. A gunman shot and killed her son and gravely wounded her husband. This week, Judge Salas released a statement speaking about how personal information, like her home address, was available online, making it easy for her attacker to find her.
The free flow of information from the internet allowed this sick and depraved human being to find all our personal information and target us.
The judge called for better laws to protect the personal information of federal judges and their families, but the internet can make it relatively easy for anyone to track down the address, phone number, and other personal details of people online, which can translate into real-life risk. So what is the law surrounding our personal information online? Lawyer Carrie Goldberg leads a victims' rights firm in New York.
We have laws that protect our privacy when it comes to medical providers sharing our medical information, like HIPAA. We have laws that protect our financial information. We're beginning to have laws that protect us from non-consensual pornography. But when it comes to what, you know, is often considered publicly available information, that's where there's a real gulf.
Is there a positive use case for having sites like a White Pages or a Zaba search or something like that to look people up?
Well, I mean, playing devil's advocate, there is a big section of this world who feel that, you know, all information should be free and that the internet's sole purpose is to provide the free flow of information. And perhaps, you know, from their perspective, address information is part of that. Of course, the people who advocate that are also not the people who traditionally are the victims of stalking and harassment and online malicious behavior.
There are companies out there making money off distributing this information, maliciously or not. There are also companies that are making money off removing this information. Can you talk a little bit about that industry and what that tells us about the state of affairs?
It's capitalism, isn't it? My whole staff, we pay for ongoing scrubbing of personal information from the internet because it is like a game of whack-a-mole and keeping up with new posting and new companies that are publishing this information.
It occurs to me that means people who have discretionary income to do that can have some measure of privacy on the internet compared to everyone else.
It's another way that privilege impacts our society, is that there's a tier of people that can afford to have their private information removed, and then there are those who don't or maybe not don't even know that it's an option.
What are the implications for people who maybe have been in abusive relationships or who may have been survivors of domestic violence that this information is so readily available?
The implications are catastrophic. We do have special protections, you know, for victims of domestic violence to try to hide their addresses, or if they're getting an order of protection to not have their address on the petition. But our location is the one thing that we should have the right to keep private because it's about safety. And if it becomes complicated and it's a game of whack-a-mole to remove content from the internet about us, then, you know, that puts our safety at risk. But, you know, because of, you know, the First Amendment right to share information, and there are no laws that protect us from, you know, from having this information public, there's very little recourse that we have. And even if somebody, I mean, oftentimes in our cases, we see malicious actors publishing people's information. So with abortion providers, there are websites that are just dedicated to publishing personal data about the abortion providers. They're medical school transcripts, their family members, their address. And it's so that other people can use that information to stalk and harass them.
Do you have any hope?
Well, you know, a couple years ago, lawmaker Catherine Clark, who herself was the victim of really extreme online harassment, she proposed a federal doxing bill, which basically outlawed the peddling of certain private information. I think our hope has to lie with our lawmakers.
Lawyer Carrie Goldberg is the author of Nobody's Victim, Fighting Psychos, Stalkers, Pervs, and Trolls. And now for some related links. Carrie Goldberg's firm does a lot of work on digital privacy issues related to revenge porn and other unlawful use of private images online. The New Yorker has a piece about her, and we'll post that on our website, marketplacetech.org. We'll also have the full video of Judge Salas's message. Warning, it's pretty tough to watch. My colleague Scott Tong sent along another digital privacy story. CyberScoop has a piece about a publicly available guide from the National Security Agency with advice on how to limit leaking information about your location through your cell phone. It's pretty hard to avoid, but you can try. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.